Mucus, yes.
Okay. Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Okay, so now without looking. Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Nateva-ham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Let's try one more time. Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Okay, so now let's try it again without the book. See if we can remember the first part. It's actually a really good exercise. It's a good stretch of the memory. So. And actually, it's very, very good. You just, if you go home singing this tonight, that would be really ecstatic. Okay. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nachaiva na bhavishyama.
Nachaiva na bhavishyama.
Nachaiva ya bhavishyama.
Nachaiva ya bhavishyama.
Sorry, that was my mistake. Nachaiva na bhavishyama.
Nachaiva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Okay, now let's see if anyone's got any parts of it. Oh, who'd like to recite the first part?
God, I've forgotten.
Natuv neme.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Okay, let's try these two again. Okay. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Okay, can now, from what you've just heard, what one word is repeated several times in this verse?
Na.
Na. Okay, and the na means?
Never.
Yeah, it means, it's described in different ways. Na means never, did not, or not, or not, or never. Yeah. Or it also means not. So those are the translations. So it's a negative. It's very strongly a negative. Never, not, not ever, did not. So there's a lot of nuts. So that gives us a clue for getting this. So let's try again one more time. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Na chaiva na bhavishyama.
Na chaiva na bhavishyama.
Na chaiva na bhavishyama.
Na chaiva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam matah param.
Sarve vayam matah param.
Sarve vayam matah param.
Sarve vayam matah param.
Okay, who would like to lead with the first line?
Oh,
without
looking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
go for it.
No.
Natve vaham atah param. Jatunasam.
Natve vaham
jatunasam.
Okay, Rita, you do this first line.
Natve vaham jasunatam.
Nearly. Natve vaham jatunasam.
Natve vaham jatunasam.
Very good, Rohit. Come on, just try. You'll surprise yourself when you do it.
I'll let somebody else do it, then I'll do it.
Chaitanya Nitai?
Natvivam nimijanatipa.
Natvivaham jatunasam.
Or na.
Tvivaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Very good, very good. Elliot?
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Very good. Yes, that wasn't so bad, was it? Okay, good. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natveyoham jaduvasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natveyoham jaduvasam.
Nasam, yes. Na-asam. So, never, like that. Okay. Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Rita?
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Ashok?
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Right.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa. Yeah, try again. Natvam.
Natvam ne janadipa.
Natvam ne me.
Natvam me.
Natvam.
Natvam.
Ne me.
Ne me.
Janadipa.
Janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
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 Okay, it's good. You're getting the hang of it.
Okay. Okay.
So let's do it again now by looking at actually the words and see how our memory compared with this first line. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Okay. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvam ne me janadipa.
So without the books, Ashok?
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
It's gone.
Rita?
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Okay, you've got on to the second line. Let's get this first line, right?
Natvam ne me janadipa.
Natvevaham.
Oh, sorry, you're on about the first one.
Yeah.
Natvevaham jatunasam. Jatunasam.
Yes. Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natveyoham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Rita?
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvevam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Try again.
Natvevam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme
janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa. Okay.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam jaine janadipa.
Natvam neme.
Natvam neme.
Janadipa.
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 Yeah. Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam jaine.
Neme.
Neme.
Janadipa. Okay, let's pause there and just let's have a look at the words now and see what the word meaning of those what those lines is. Na,
na,
never,
never,
to means but. Yes, but. So na tu becomes natva. So never but. So tu is but. Very important word. This word will come up again and again. Because a statement is made and then there's a but. Right? So, Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
So, Eva is a very emphatic word. Certainly, Krishna is saying. So, try it. This. Certainly.
Certainly.
Eva means?
Certainly.
No, that's too weak. Certainly.
Certainly.
Yes. Okay. Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Jatu.
Jatu.
At any time.
At any time.
Na.
Na.
Did not.
Did not.
Asam.
Asam.
Exist.
Exist.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Ime.
Ime.
All these.
All these.
Janadipa.
Janadipa.
Kings.
Kings.
Okay, so let's just pause there and let's try. What does tu mean?
But.
And what does Eva mean?
Certainly.
Certainly. Okay. Janadipa.
Kings.
Yes. Jana means the people. Adipa, the rulers. The rulers of all these people, the kings. Janadipa. Okay. And ime?
All these.
All these, yes. So this is actually a good way to learn it. So what is the Sanskrit word for certainly?
Eva.
Eva.
Okay, yes, that's one of the very... okay, what does aham mean?
I,
yes. So I in Sanskrit is?
Aham.
Aham, yeah. So as we practice doing it backwards and forwards, translating from one to the other and the other to one, then it becomes a little bit clearer and it becomes easier to hang the meaning onto it. So these are some things which you can practice at home. Please do try this at home.
Better in a group,
though. It is good in a group, yes. Because then one person doesn't get picked on. But the idea is, let's read the rest of it. Na ceva na bhavishyama.
Na ceva na bhavishyama.
Na ceva na bhavishyama.
Na ceva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Sarve vayam atah param.
Okay, so Rohit Prabhu, can you lead us through the Sanskrit verse then, please? One quarter at a time.
Na ceva na bhavishyama.
No, from the beginning, yeah.
Also, na tu Ivaham jatunasam.
Natveva ham jatunasam.
Natvam name janatipa.
Natvam name janatipa.
Nasheva na bhavishyama.
Nasheva na bhavishyama.
Sadeyam ahaparam.
Sarvevayam mataparam.
Kirtan Prabhu?
Yeah. Nate evam.
That's tvevaham. Remember, it's a two, yeah, and an a. So it's two vowels. So the v, a u becomes a v.
B.
So as you can see, it's here. Yeah. Na tvevaham.
Na tve.
Yeah.
Na tvevaham jatu nasam.
Na tvevaham jatu nasam.
Na teva name jatu. Janatita.
Natvam neme janatita.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarva vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Natvev eva jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam mataparam.
Sarve vayam mataparam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam nime janadipa.
Natvam nime janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevam neme janadipa.
Natvam neme janadipa.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Nacheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Okay, so one of the principles is that whenever you learned any songs, if you sung them enough times, you kind of get the hang of them. Anybody experience that? Yeah. You learned some songs as children?
Yeah.
Is anyone didn't learn any songs as children? Did you learn songs as children? A child probably? Hare Krishna. Rohit Prabhu, did you learn songs? Okay. So, this is the practice. You sing the song, and then after a while you find yourself singing it in the bath. Singing while you're driving. It's actually very good. And as you practice, and this idea that Chaitanya Nitai Prabhu has is you write it down on a card and keep it with you and practice it.
Yeah.
And that way, before you know it, you'll have cracked a verse and you can quote this verse. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Natreve ham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa. Like that. And you can come up. And then you can also explain what it means.
Also, one of the other way I find, you know, when I'm trying to learn some formulas or something, is that I record myself speaking it and then I hear it, you know, I hear it again and again.
That's
one of the good way of learning, you know, try to memorize something.
Okay, good, good.
I use that technique, for exam revisions and things like that.
Good, yeah, it's very practical. Whatever works for you, then that's good. And actually, you may think, who knows any Sanskrit verses?
some from the Gita, the ones that we recited. Not verses, more. Are there verses?
These are verses from Bhagavad Gita?
The very first one that was in Om Gyana Shirinandas.
Okay, that's the Sanskrit verse. Good, good. Anyone else know any Sanskrit verses?
Yeah, I know, like from chapter 4, 4.7, 4.8, quite famous verses.
Anyone know Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane? That's the Sanskrit verse. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharini, Nivisesha Sunyavadi, Vasvatyadi Chitam. That's the Sanskrit verse. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. There's a Sanskrit verse. You know more Sanskrit verses than you give yourself credit for.
And the Mahamantra.
And the Mahamantra, yes. Brilliant verse. This is a verse from which scripture? From the Kali Santarana Upanishad, actually. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is hopefully one of the first verses that we learn. And there are so many verses, and you know so many snippets of other verses. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know this?
Yes.
So these are all parts of Sanskrit verses. And as we practice, then actually we'll pick them up. But it just takes a little practice. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. So we've just been doing a little Sanskrit verse.
Okay.
Boys, do you know this verse? Natveve ham jantu nasam, natvam neme janadipa. You know? Okay, you missed out. Anyway, let's do the word meaning one more time and let's see if we can get the idea. See if you can remember any of these words. Eva.
Certainly.
How about certainly?
Certainly.
Yes, very certain, very emphatic. Okay. And na?
No.
Never.
Never.
Never. Very strong words, actually. Never is a very long word. It means not ever. It's a very, very, it's the longest word, actually. How many letters?
Which word?
No. Never.
Never.
Hmm.
Five.
Or in Sanskrit, how many letters?
Which word is that?
Na.
Na.
And A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many?
Two.
Two letters. Okay. So it's only two letters, but it's the longest word. Never.
Never.
Okay. So let's try and get the hang of some of these words, because they're very useful. Because, and you'll see as we go into studying this verse, how important these words actually are. And why Krishna uses the word na so many times in this verse. It's really, really important, actually. There's very, very strong reasons behind it. Okay, so let's do this. Na.
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 Never.
Never.
Okay. Two.
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 But.
But.
Eva.
Eva. Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Okay, good. Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
I means in Sanskrit.
Aham.
Aham. Yeah, okay, good. Yes. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, what's that verse? Aham sarvasya prabhava. Yes, Krishna is saying, I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Very important words. Krishna is talking about himself. He's saying, aham. I. Okay. Jatu.
Jatu.
At any time.
At any time.
Na.
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 Did not.
Did not.
Asam.
Asam.
Exist.
Exist.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
So there's aham, which means?
I.
And tvam, which means?
You.
You.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Ime.
Ime.
All these.
All these.
Jana Adipa.
Jana Adipa.
Kings.
Kings.
Yes. Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Cha.
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 What does that mean? Cha.
Also.
Also. Yes, that's another very common word used in Sanskrit verses. Cha means
also.
Also. Yes. Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
So certainly in Sanskrit is?
Eva.
Okay. Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Bhavishyama.
Bhavishyama.
Shall exist.
Shall exist.
Sarve vayam.
Sarve vayam.
All of us.
All of us.
So Krishna's talked about aham, which means?
I.
Yes. And tvam, which means?
You.
And sarve vayam?
All of us.
All of us. So I is?
Aham.
You is? And all of us is? Sarve vayam. These, I'm not just laboring the point. I'm actually making these points because Krishna is making a really emphatic statement when he's starting to give Arjuna his instructions. Ataparam.
Ataparam.
Hereafter.
Hereafter.
Very important point. He's talked on the one hand, na, as being never, and here he's saying ataparam, hereafter. So he's using words describing individuals like aham, which means
I.
First person. First person singular if you studied grammar. Tvam means
you.
Second person singular. So, and then, what is that? Sarve vayam?
Sarve vayam, all of us.
All of us. So third person. Okay. So plural, like that. So Krishna is talking about me, he's talking about you, and he's talking about all of us. Okay? Really important point. And he's talking about time. He's saying na, which means
never.
Never. Yeah. Never. So he's talking about time, not ever. Okay? And then he's talking about another aspect of time, hereafter, which means from now on. Okay? So, now let's look at what Krishna is saying in this verse. Jaina Maitreji, could you read the English from the verse for us, please?
Which one?
74.
This one?
74.
74.
Page 74. Yeah, this is chapter 2, text 12. This is when Krishna is starting to speak to Arjuna. He's already spoken his first verse, but now this is Krishna's second verse.
Never was there a time when I did not exist, not you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
So let's repeat this. Never was there a time.
Never was there a
time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
Okay, let's do it again. Never was there. Can I leave? Never was there a time.
Never was there a time
when I did not exist.
When I did not exist.
Nor you.
Nor you.
Nor all these kings.
Nor all these kings.
Nor in the future.
Nor in the future.
Shall any of us cease to be?
Shall any of us cease to be?
Okay. Now this is a very, 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 very relevant verse for everyone to learn, because we will all of us come across so many people who will be so doggedly determined that they want to merge with God and become God and become the same as God. They're called impersonalists or Mayavadis. They want to say that yes, you and I are God, and that we're all the same when we're all one. But now here, Krishna is speaking as he's the authority, and he's describing himself. He's saying me, you, and all of us, there was never a time when we didn't, all of us, exist. So Krishna is saying, every single one of us has always, individually, existed. He's using me, you, because in the present now, you and I and all of us, we're all individuals. It's pretty clear, right? Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
We're all individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna is saying here in this verse, me, you, and all of us, there was never a time when we didn't exist as individuals. It's pretty clear. And he's also saying, not just in the past, nor in the future, shall any of us, plural, cease to be. So Krishna is making the point that there was never a time when we were merged with God, and there is never a time in the future when we're going to become merged with God. So this is a very significant point, actually extremely important for preaching, because people will present so many ideas and they'll say that, oh, Bhagavad Gita says we all become one with God. But this is the bogus rascaldom, because then you can quote them. No! Krishna says we never merged with God. We never will merge with God. We always had our eternal existence separate from God. And you can quote this verse as the evidence. This is the beginning of Krishna's instruction to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita.
See, I didn't realize when you said we will never merge with God. It doesn't actually use the word merge in there, but is there are you looking at another word?
No. Krishna is saying we always existed. You are individual. You always existed as an individual. I am an individual. I always existed as an individual. All of us, we are individuals. We always existed as an individual.
Right, okay, so
and in the future, we will never stop being individuals.
Right.
Mm. Uses the word I.
Yes. Aham, I, Tvam, you.
Sorry, yeah, you've broken it down. Like, it was just like, I was just thinking how that understanding came about. But yeah, I mean, it's quite clear. But
yes.
It's confused myself.
Okay, so that's why if we study the verse and we study the words and the context in which Krishna is using them, and it's not a question of material individuality, because in the previous verse, what does Krishna say? He said that Arjuna, you're speaking so many learned words, you've presented so many arguments just to defeat my logic. So what is the use, Arjun? But you're speaking like a pandit, but there's a problem, Arjun, because you're not a pandit. It's just like Krishna is using very nice language. If someone says to you that, oh, you look just like the person who stole my watch, that means you look like a thief. But it's in a very nice way. So Krishna is speaking in this way. Nanu Sochanti Pandita. He's saying, actually, Arjuna, you are speaking like a pandit. But actually, you're not a pandit. Nanu Sochanti Pandita. In nice language, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that you're a fool. Because those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. And then Krishna's explaining here why. Because you always existed, I always existed, they, all of us here, we always existed. And we exist now, this is very clear. All of us exist now, all of us here. I, me, you, and all of us here, we all exist now, right? It's pretty clear. And nor in the future will any of us ever cease to be. So this is the beginning of Krishna's instruction. And if anybody comes up with this Mayavadi nonsense, if you learn this verse, you can defeat them. Because if they don't accept Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, then that's another story. But if they speak with the authority of Bhagavad Gita, then they have to accept that this is what Krishna actually spoke. But instead they like to try to change it around and try and misinterpret. But if you know this verse inside out, back to front, then you can point out, no, Krishna says, natvevaham jatunasam, never. There was never a time when I didn't exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us ever cease to be. So where is the question of you becoming God, becoming one with God? Krishna never says that. He says that I've always existed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've always existed. We've all of us all eternally existed. And we always will exist. So this is very, very important. And you see that when Prabhupada explains this verse in text 12, he quotes then a verse from the Katha Upanishad, a very, very important verse to help explain and understand this verse. And the verse is Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kama. So even you don't learn the rest of the verse, these, even the first four words, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. What does Nityo mean? What does Nityananda mean?
Eternal.
Yeah? Ananda means bliss, and Nitya means eternal. So Nityananda, he's eternally blissful. So Nitya means eternal, and Nityanam means that this expression, Nityo Nityanam, means that there are many, many Nityas, eternal living beings. But out of all the Nityas, one, he is Nityanam, which means he's the leader of all the eternal living beings. This is the point. So Krishna never says, and the Vedas don't declare, that we become one with God. Rather, Krishna is eternally the leader of all the eternal living beings. So these things need to be understood very clearly and very carefully. And Prabhupada chooses his words, verses he uses to point out what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita very clearly so that we can understand it nicely. So when Krishna is talking about I and you and all of us, who is he talking about? Is he talking about the body? Can he possibly be talking about the body? Why? Yes, because he's saying that there was never a time when I didn't exist, but your body, it was born at some point. You've got a birthday. Yes. And you've also got a death day. So he cannot be talking about the body. Therefore, he's talking about the soul's individuality. So these things need to be clearly understood. Krishna's not referring to the temporary individuality, because the Mayavadis, they like to say that this individuality is only because we become covered by illusion, and that when we become uncovered out of illusion, then we'll realize we're merging with God. But this isn't a fact. Krishna says never was there a time when I did not exist. He's talking about the soul. He cannot be talking about the body. And he's talking about, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. There's never a time when we're going to stop existing as individual beings and become one homogeneous lump. It's not going to happen. So these are really important points to understand. So Krishna cannot be talking about the bodily concept of life. But the Mayavadis, because they twist the meanings of the Vedic verses, their only interest is to take Sanskrit grammar and try and twist it around and juggle the grammatical suffixes and prefixes and make out like actually we're all going to become one with Krishna. But they follow the philosophy of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is the big, big propounder, the big, big leader of people who study the Mayavad philosophy, the impersonalist philosophy. But one thing is, when they quote Shankaracharya, they neglect to quote so many important verses that Shankaracharya also says, not least of which is that Narayano paro vyaktat. So Narayan, or Krishna, paro vyaktat, he is transcendental to the vyakta, the material manifestation. He existed before the material creation. So the material creation has a beginning and an end. But Shankaracharya, he also says that Krishna or Narayan existed before the material creation even came into existence. So, but they don't quote this because that doesn't suit their philosophy. And Shankaracharya, he also points out, Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudha Mate. Mudha means?
Foolish.
Hmm?
Foolish.
Foolish, yes. Foolish rascal. He's addressing his disciples. Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudha Mate. You foolish rascals, just worship Govinda. Just worship Govinda. Just worship Govinda. When something is said three times, it means it's very strong. If I tell you, do this, do this, do this, that means you have to do it. Yes? So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad, Shankaracharya, he's expressing, Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudhamate, Samprapte Sanahite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rukshati Dukranya Karine. That simply juggling grammatical words isn't going to save you at the time of death. But Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudhamate, you fools and rascals, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda.
So why is he then considered an impersonalist if he's also recognizing Krishna?
Because he was given a particular mission to bewilder the atheists. Actually, this was...
What?
This was a particular role he was asked to carry out by the Lord himself. And who was he bewildering? He was bewildering the Buddhists. Now the Buddhists, they're atheists. They think that ultimately everything is nirvana or void. They don't accept the principle of God. They say ultimately everything is simply void, nothingness. They don't accept that ultimately there is the Supreme Controller. So they're against the principle that there is a supreme controller, there is God. So the Buddha, Lord Buddha, he's also an incarnation of Krishna. Why did Lord Buddha come and teach atheistic philosophy?
Because people were manipulating the Vedic.
Who? What's that?
They were taking advantage of the Vedic scriptures. So were they killing meat.
Killing animals. Eating meat. So this is a very important point. So just like young children, supposing young children, they find a real trouble sitting still and they do all sorts of naughty things. Then you're told, okay, you go and sit in the corner. Right? Yes? You just sit still. Stop fidgeting. This is the idea. That whatever you're doing is all nonsense. So you just stop your nonsense. You sit still and stop your nonsense. So this idea of monism, monavrat, you know, silence. Just, you're speaking all nonsense, so just be quiet. Don't speak any nonsense. This is given. And why? Because the nonsense they were doing, they were taking the Vedas, they were taking the Vedic literatures and saying, well, the Vedas say, you can do an animal sacrifice. You can sacrifice a horse or a cow or all sorts of animals. And then they were taking it to the extreme. Yes, you can do that. In the Vedas, it said that you can do that sacrifice. You can kill a horse and then it'll be liberated and it'll get a fresh body right there and then. But you have to have a Brahmin who can chant the mantra in such a way that there and then, when that horse is killed or that cow is killed, that it gets a young body there and then. Now, can you do that? Can you chant the mantra in such a way that when the animal is killed, it's immediately given a fresh body and that the soul is liberated? So you have to be very, very expert in the Vedic mantras to be able to do that. And the proof that you are expert in chanting the Vedic mantras is that you can do it. And if you can't, and you think, well, I'll just kill the cow anyway, and I might as well eat its flesh, that means you've completely taken the whole principle of Vedic sacrifice and turned it for your own purposes. And the result is that you can take it a step further. Well, I can not only kill the cow and kill the horse, but actually I can eat them like anything. And hey, why don't we just open slaughterhouses and kill all the animals and eat them? So this was the nonsense that was going on when Lord Buddha appeared. So Lord Buddha, he is described in the Shastras as being an incarnation of who?
Krishna,
yes. Why does he come? He comes to stop the animal killing. And he teaches ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence, stop this killing. Because this killing is very bad.
During that time then, did it survive for... I mean, obviously Buddhism is still around. Like you said, it has changed a lot to what it was originally.
So has Christianity, and so has Hinduism, yeah. Vedic so-called Varnashram Dharma, it's all the caste system, everything has become very topsy-turvy as the Kali Yuga has progressed. Even Vaishnavism gets complete, it needs a complete overhaul every now and again by people who are actually qualified Vaishnavas to be able to represent the actual teachings of the Vedas. It requires a great soul to be able to do that. Even since the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Chaitanya came how many years ago?
500.
About 500 years ago. By the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he pointed out 13 different deviant groups who were actually just completely in the name of Vaishnavism, presenting all kinds of rascal nonsense. Are you hiding back there? Okay.
Was it Bhaktivinoda Thakur who couldn't find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, was it?
Yeah, it disappeared.
It was disappeared by that time.
Yeah, it's almost unavailable. So just see how quickly in the Kali Yuga things deteriorate. So this was early on in the Kali Yuga. Lord Buddha appeared how long ago? 2,600 years ago, approximately. Yeah. So Lord Buddha appeared, and everybody took up Buddhism, which was great because they stopped killing the animals. They were practicing ahimsa, non-violence. But then Shankaracharya, he was requested by the Lord, and this is all described in actually there's descriptions of it in the Mahabharata. And there are descriptions in the Devi Purana, where Devi, of course, is the wife of Lord Shiva. Because actually she explained that this is what she heard from her husband. Actually. So Lord Shiva explains that actually he appears in the age of Kali according to the order of the Lord, and he didn't want to do it. He wanted, the Lord asked him, you preach impersonalism, you come as a Brahmin, and you teach the impersonalist philosophy in order to bewilder the atheists. And he didn't want to teach Mayavada philosophy, but this was his duty. And his specific reason for doing this was to get the atheists, the Buddhists, to turn their faces towards the Vedas. Now you've stopped all your nonsense, now you gradually understand that actually there is the authority of the Vedas, and one has to follow the Vedic authority. So what he taught was that rather than God, rather than the ultimate absolute being nirvana, no qualities, nothing, just void, actually this ultimate truth is Brahman. This is what Lord, what Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, what he actually taught. And he taught it for a reason, to as the next phase, to get rid of the Buddhists out of India. And actually he drove them out by his strong preaching and by his patrol force, the Nagababas. They're very ferocious characters, and they drove the Buddhists out of India. They went up to Tibet, practically. So they were largely removed. But instead, what you've got now is you've got Adi Shankara's philosophy, which is established throughout India as being the philosophy of life, where ultimately everything is Brahman. And you are Brahman, and I am Brahman, and we're all Brahman. And we're all as good as God, and we'll all merge into God. But you have to be very pukka, because in actually to be a proper bona fide Mayavadi, you have to be sannyasi. You have to follow very, very strict vows to be a bona fide Mayavadi. Now everyone's a bogus so-called Mayavadi. They don't have any idea that actually you're Shankaracharya. Just like with Buddha, they don't have any idea that you can't eat meat. Similarly, the Mayavadis nowadays, they have no idea that actually you have to be a very pukka sannyasi, practicing study of the Vedanta in order to be a properly qualified, bona fide Mayavadi. So, but the preparation was there to get people to follow the authority of the Vedas. And so they would preach on the authority of the Vedas, but with Shankaracharya's twisted interpretation of it. He would twist it around and present it like this, and this means that, and that means this. And so they thought, oh, this is very good. It means now we're not nothing, we're actually all God. So this is very good. So, but over the years, the four sampradayas, Nimbarka Swami, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, Vishnu Swami, great prominent acharyas in the four sampradayas, they did massive amounts to smash the Mayavada philosophy, particularly Ramanujacharya. Madhavacharya, he was very strong, and Ramanujacharya, he is very, very powerful acharya, to establish that God and the living being are not one, but two. There are two living beings. They're plural living beings, all of us and God. And at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared 500 years ago, he established very clearly the principle of achintya beda beda tattva. Achintya means what? Do you know what achintya means? Do you know what achintya means? Okay. It means inconceivable. It means you can't understand how it works. Just like if you take out that mobile phone and you open it up, right, and you look and you see there is tiny little electronic components there on little tiny circuit board, little tiny chips, you know, smaller than, you know, like small as your hair. And they're doing all kinds of electronic wizardry. You may not be able to conceive how it's working. It'll be really a mystery to you. Yeah? So that's inconceivable. Or can you understand how those electronic chips are working? Can you understand? Some people may be able to understand. But actually, this philosophy, try to understand, try to hear patiently, because it's good if you can understand it. Means that beda beda, achintya beda beda tattva. That actually in truth, the Lord and the living beings, they're simultaneously one with Krishna and simultaneously different from Krishna. Just like the spark of the fire. It's got the same qualities as the fire. If a spark comes out of the fire and lands on your leg, you'll know it's fire, because it'll burn you, right? You've had experience? You've never had experience. Well, don't try this at home. because it will burn. Because the spark, it has the same quality of fire, but only in a tiny little amount. But the fire itself, a big blazing bonfire, you've seen sparks jumping around in the bonfire when they're burning rubber? Yeah, the spark has the same quality as the fire, but it's only tiny in potency, whereas the whole fire is fully potent. So similarly, the jiva is the same quality as Krishna. He's eternal, just like Krishna is saying in this verse. I'm eternal, you're eternal, all of us here are eternal. But the difference is that Krishna is the leader of all the eternals. So Krishna is very great, and we're very tiny. When we come into this material world, we take a material body and we become bewildered. This spirit soul thinks he's Elliot. This spirit soul thinks he's Rita. This spirit soul thinks he's Rohit. This spirit soul thinks he's Tribhangananda Das. Yeah. But this is being bewildered because I think this lump of matter is me. But when Krishna comes, he doesn't become bewildered. He doesn't become covered by illusion. Krishna says, Ajopi sanna vyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. Prakritim svamadishtaya sambhavami atmamaya. He says, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates. Your body deteriorates, right? You think now that it's growing nicely, but the time will come when it will get old lines on it and it will become old and wrinkly. Yeah, and it will deteriorate. It will become rotting and falling away. So the principle is that Krishna is saying, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all beings, I still appear in every age in my original transcendental form. So when Krishna comes, he doesn't take a body like ours. He comes as he is, in his eternal spiritual form. And his body doesn't deteriorate. So because he's not tiny like us, he doesn't become covered by Maya. Krishna is very great. He comes as he is. He is the controller. And we are all controlled by this material nature. This is the difference. Now the Mayavadis, they say that just we're all God actually, but we've become covered by Maya. And when we become uncovered from Maya, we'll all realize we're God. But if that's possible, then that means God has been covered by something stronger than him. So God means the Supreme Being. So that means that in their estimation, Maya is stronger than God. So Maya is God. We should all worship Maya because it's stronger than God. So their philosophy doesn't really make very good sense. Is that all right? If I say I'm the Supreme Being, that means that no one is equal to me and no one is greater than me. But then if you come and knock me over, then you're greater than me. If you come and stick a blanket over my head and tie up my arms, then that means you're stronger than me. You've covered me. So Maya, in the Mayavadi's view, has covered over God and now he's forgotten that he's God. This is the Mayavadi idea. But Krishna is declaring in Bhagavad Gita, I never become covered, but rather everyone in this world is covered by my creative potency. So this is the difference between Vaishnavism and Mayavad philosophy. It's important to understand these things because we will have to, in due course, defend ourselves from the attacks of all these Mayavadi rascals who will try to present that Krishna's just another living entity like us. Now here's the point. Bhagavad Gita is so important, it's taken as authority. Because it's spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now if Krishna becomes covered like us, then what's the value of Bhagavad Gita? It has no value because Krishna is just an ordinary living entity. So why are you quoting it as authority? If it's actually authority, you have to accept what Krishna says. not just turn it and twist it to suit your own purposes. Yeah? If Krishna is just another living being, then what's the value of him speaking Bhagavad Gita? It's just another conditioned living entity who's covered by Maya speaking his philosophy. But if Bhagavad Gita actually is authority, we have to accept it. Now in Bhagavad Gita, does Vyasadeva ever say Krishna Uvacha? Yes, every time. Every time when Krishna speaks, Vyasadeva says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. So there's no equivocal thing that it's just a conversation between two living beings. Arjuna Uvacha, so many times, Arjuna said, and not Krishna said, but Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. And if Vyasadeva is mistaken, then all the Vedic literatures are useless, because he makes mistakes. So he's just like one of us. So, but Vyasadeva is accepted as the incarnation of God, the literary incarnation, because he doesn't make mistakes. He's not a bewildered living being like us, and therefore the Vedas are accepted as authority, Bhagavad Gita is accepted as authority, because it's actually spoken by God. So there's a big difference between God and the living being. But the one thing that's the same is that we have the same quality as Krishna. You, me, all these kings Krishna is pointing out on the battlefield, we're all the same because we're eternal. But I'm the supreme living being. So these are important points to understand if we're going to really come to grips with what's going on in Bhagavad Gita. And as we go through this, and try to learn what Krishna is saying and the importance and the significance of what Krishna is saying, then that will help us become able to explain to others what is Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and what is the soul and what is God, and not become cheated by some two-bit Swami or Bogi or Yogi who comes and says that, yes, we're all God. You should be able to prove to them, no, you're speaking nonsense. Krishna never says that in Bhagavad Gita. This is what Krishna says. He says, there was never a time when I didn't exist. There was never a time when you didn't exist. There was never a time when all of these kings didn't exist. We all exist now. That's as plain as the noses on our faces. And Krishna is saying, there will never be a time in the future when any of us will cease to be. So any questions? Any comments?
Oh, didn't want to interrupt you because I was...
Okay, no.
I read this verse today, this purple, and exactly what you've been explaining, just this part here, this bit, about the Mayavadi philosophers,
yes,
about Krishna speaking to Arjuna.
Yes.
And then Arjuna's asking Krishna here, he wants to know some of his appliances. But again, he says, states here, he's not asking
their escaping.
He says he's not asking these questions
for
him. He's asking them for the common people
to
understand.
Us.
You know, for us.
Yes.
And he's not just saying, oh yeah, you're the personality of God just because you're my friend.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. It's not flattery.
Flattery, yeah. And then
it's declared by Arjuna, it's declared by Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, Asita, Devala, all the great sages are declaring this of you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me.
It says here, the Mayavadi philosopher, for here it is clear that the Supreme is different from the individual soul. Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita in this chapter, became completely free from all doubts and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He at once... Boldly declares, you are Param Brahma.
Param Brahma means the Supreme Brahman.
The Supreme.
You are Brahman, I am Brahman, but Krishna is Brahman. But the difference is Krishna is the Supreme Brahman. No one is equal to him or greater than him. He is the Supreme. Param Brahma.
Param Brahma of Godhead. And previously Krishna stated that he is the originator of everything and everyone. every demigod and every human being is dependent on him. Men and demigods, out of ignorance, think that they are absolute and independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ignorance is removed perfectly by the discharge of devotional service. This
devotional
has already
service, yes.
Devotional service. This has already been explained in the previous verses by the Lord. Now, by his grace, Arjuna is accepting him as a supreme truth in accordance with the Vedic injunctions. It is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's intimate friend, Arjuna is flattering him by calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. Whatever Arjuna says in these two verses is confirmed by Vedic truth.
Hmm.
Vedic injunctions affirm that only one who takes to devotional service to the Supreme can understand him, whereas others cannot. Each and every word in this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunctions.
Yes. So this is the thing. So if something is a Vedic injunction, it means you can't argue with it. Just like Arjuna is asking Krishna, he's asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you please become my guru. And Krishna is saying, well, why do you want me as your guru, Arjuna? Because we're friends. Yeah. I can't be your guru. How can I be your guru? Because we're friends. When friends talk, they just talk and they never come to any real conclusion. They just carry on talking. But Arjuna is saying to Krishna that no, now I'm surrendering to you, Arjuna, Krishna. Please instruct me. I'm ready to accept whatever you tell me. Because this is the principle, that in spiritual life, one has to accept the guru and the Vedas as being authority. No more argument. So when one takes to spiritual life, he accepts that Vedas means authority. Is it a Vedic injunction? Yes. Okay, then I have to admit. No argument. Is this the words of the guru? Okay, then fine. If he says this, that is accepted. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta. Tad vijnanatam sagurum eva bigache. That the duty of everyone who wants to actually make progress in spiritual life is they have to accept a guru, and then they make progress. Otherwise we don't make progress. And until we come to the point of accepting the guru as the representative of Krishna, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, up until that point we carry on our stuff in the material world. But when we actually surrender to the spiritual master, just like Arjuna, he's addressing Krishna that now I am your disciple. Shishyasteham shardimam sharanam prapanna. Now I'm a soul surrendered to you. I'm ready to be your disciple. Please instruct me. Please tell me clearly what is best for me. And I will do as you say. So this is the principle that we're discussing in this chapter. One of the principles where Krishna is starting to instruct Arjuna. So this is how we can understand Bhagavad Gita, when we accept Krishna's instruction, when we accept the instruction of Guru, when we accept the instruction of the Vedas as being infallible. Up until that point you can argue your head off. But when you take to spiritual life, then you have to accept there is authority and I have to follow that authority. And this way I become perfect. So Krishna is giving perfect instruction to Arjuna. Arjuna agrees to follow it and he becomes perfect.
What's the Upanishad? We keep on, every time I'm reading, I'm always going past something.
Prabhupada says the Upanishads are the headlines.
Okay.
You know, the character, the chapter headings of the Vedas. You've got 108 Upanishads. And they're the main chapters of the Vedic literatures.
They're not in
Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is from the Mahabharata. These Upanishads are separate, big chapters. Each one is a book in itself. And out of all the Upanishads, there are 9, don't ask me to remember which ones they all are, but there are 9 which are extremely important, including the Isha Upanishad. So we study Sri Isha Upanishad because it clear. Generally, many of the Upanishads, they point out that God is eternal and the living being is eternal. And one can easily mistake in there that God and the living being are one. But in these other nine Upanishads, specifically, the difference between the living being and God is clearly pointed out and spelled out in exactly those terms. So the Upanishads are very important to help us understand what is Krishna. Krishna is saying, Vedaischa sarve, aham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am what is to be known. I am the compiler of the Veda, and I know the Veda as it is. So, yes. So anyway, we'll study these verses more and come to gradually get to grips with them. But this is a very, very important verse, and Prabhupada lectured on this one verse many times. And you can read. And each time Prabhupada gave a lecture on this verse, he explained it so nicely in a different way. So it's very helpful to get a full rounded understanding about what we're getting into here in Bhagavad Gita. Any other questions? Or shall we call it a halt for tonight? It's okay. So thank you all very much. Can anyone remember? Natveva ham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadipa,
na chayala bhavishyam,
sarve
vayam ataparam.
Very good. All right. Hey, we're getting there. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much indeed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.